Next week, the Supreme Court will hear arguments in two cases challenging the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, passed by Congress in 2003. A key part of the case for the ban's supporters is a set of congressional declarations. They say that the specific procedure described in the law is dangerous and never medically necessary. As NPR's Julie Rovner reports, since the law was passed, peer-reviewed medical studies have reached the opposite conclusion.
This isn't the first time the Supreme Court has considered a ban on the procedure legislators call partial birth abortion. 6 years ago, the justices struck down Nebraska's ban, ruling that the law needed an exception, allowing the procedure to be used not just to preserve the pregnant woman's life, but also her health. That put sponsors of a similar federal ban, like Ohio Republican Congressman Steve Chabot, in a quandary. Adding a health exception was not something he was willing to do.
The problem with the health exception is we have a number of abortionists who have testified that any pregnancy is a risk to a woman's health. So if you have a health exception in there, in essence, you have a phony Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act.
Chabot says sponsors ultimately settled on a strategy they hoped would overcome the court's objections without adding a health exception.
We had extensive medical testimony indicating that a partial birth abortion is never medically necessary and, in fact, is actually oftentimes harmful to the woman. And that's the reason we did not include a health exception.
Instead, the law includes a series of declarations. They say that the procedure is unrecognized by the mainstream medical community, that there have been no articles published in peer-reviewed journals that establish the procedure is superior to other abortion procedures, and that the procedure even threatens the pregnant woman's health. But since the bill was written, much in the medical community has changed. Dr. Stephen Chasen is an associate professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Cornell University's medical school. He also heads the high-risk obstetrics unit at New York Presbyterian Hospital. Chasen says his patients come to him to have babies, not abortions, but that's not always possible.
The reality is that the population we take care of, there are many high-risk patients, and unfortunately not every pregnancy goes so well.
Chasen, like most of the medical community, says there's no such thing medically as a partial birth abortion. What sponsors say the law bans is a variation of the most common second trimester abortion procedure, dilation and evacuation, or D&E. In that variation, called intact D&E, or DNX, the fetus is removed whole except for the head, which is then compressed to allow it to pass through the birth canal. The problem with the ban, Chasen says, is that he often doesn't know until he's in the operating room what procedure is most appropriate for the patient.
If I have to consider what the government thinks every step of the way when I'm taking care of my patients, then it absolutely would threaten the health of my patients.
Chasen is a plaintiff in one of the three lawsuits challenging the ban. He's also the lead author of a study published in 2004 in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. Until now, he's declined all media interviews, but with the approaching oral arguments, Chasen agreed to discuss the study, which compared several hundred second trimester abortions using both the traditional D&E method and the intact version.
We basically found that the complication rates were similar between the two groups. The only severe complications we experienced, in fact, were in what people would call the traditional D&E group, not the intact variation.
That study, however, raised the question of whether women having the variation in which the fetus is basically removed intact would be more likely to deliver prematurely in a subsequent pregnancy. So Chasen and his colleagues did another study published in the same journal in 2005.
We found that using whichever variant of D&E that we used had no relation to their subsequent births. And it wasn't associated with preterm birth.
And Chasen also disputes another of the congressional findings, that the procedure is not taught in U.S. medical schools.
I learned it here at an Ivy League medical school where I teach it. My other plaintiffs and experts testifying in these cases come from some of the top hospitals in the United States and are on faculty at some of the top medical schools in the United States.
But Congressman Chabot says that doesn't make it right.
This is a procedure that shouldn't be taught, because it's barbaric and gruesome and inhumane, and we hope in the very near future is illegal.
The Supreme Court is expected to announce its decision by next year. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.